Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
I appreciate you making the John Kincaid Show part of your routine here on CBS Sports Radio. And you know, if you listen to this show now for 7 years on this network or the seven previous back on ESPN Radio back in the day, NFL Sundays just there's something special to me. Because you see, I grew up around probably 6 miles from where our guest Mark Herzlich joins us here on the John Kincaid Show, here on CBS Sports Radio, former NFL player, now NFL analyst. Mark, you were a Conestoga kid, so you were obviously a little more blue blood, rich. You know, I went to O'Hara, so, you know, I was on the wrong side of the tracks compared to you mainliners. A little bit different.
Yeah, I guess as wrong side of the track as you can get. At O'Hara's pretty nice, too.
Yeah. How are you, Mark? And more importantly, as a one cancer survivor to another, how are you feeling? I just like to always check in with that. And do you, like I do, look at every single day better, like your life's better because of what you went through with cancer?
Yeah, which is a weird thing to think about. Thinking that, you know, maybe your life could be better because of cancer. But in reality, for me, it becomes such a big part of your past that it can only, you know, it's only obvious that it'll leak into your present, right, in your future. So, you know, I'm so thankful for my family and my son and my wife. And, I don't think any of that stuff would have came about in terms of that particular girl or that particular son I have.
Sure.
If it wasn't for cancer. So yes, it is a blessing, and I am feeling well. Thank you for asking.
That is good. I'm 21 years clean in a couple
that's
weeks.
Awesome. And 21 and years. Good for you.
And that's from my second one. Cause I had two.
Yeah.
And, when I look at it now, I say, within a year, within 2 years of being clean, I met my wife, got married, became a dad. So, I mean, like, it very much like you, I can feel that, you know, life's been a great blessing like that. Now, an NFL season's a great blessing, and everybody's talking today. I have to ask you about your thoughts on Andrew Luck walking away and retiring at this point, because everybody has to have their two cents, so I want to hear from you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm proud of him. You know, as a guy who's gotten bumped around and bruised, sure, and played through injury, and now having, you know, being about a year away from playing, I'm proud of him. I think that too often guys have this feeling that they shouldn't be playing any longer and continue to play for whatever reason. Maybe it's, you know, the need for money or the inability to cope with losing the spotlight. But, you know, Andrew kind of laid it out. He said, I'm in this cycle of injury, of pain, of playing through pain. I think the biggest reason he's played this long and fought through the pain for this long is his teammates, and which he credited when he, you know, did his press conference. And because I know Andrew pretty well, and you know, I've been in touch with him over the years, and he is a guy who always has had his grounding in his family. He's been very in tune to his body and his faith, and so I think it was a big decision. It was a well thought out decision. I know that there's going to be people, especially in Indianapolis and fans for the Colts, that are going to be very upset about the timing. But when you are doing it, timing is almost the last thing you think about. I'm sure he wanted to play this season, and if he felt great right now, he would have continued. But, you know, as we talked about earlier, you know, with your wife and your child, and things kind of become different at that point, and that he got married and has a kid on the way. And I'm sure that's part plays into his decision to walk away now while he has the chance of being physically pain-free over the next few years.
Is there any team that you've seen in the preseason or any individual player that you feel your opinion has greatly swayed, either positively or negatively, as you watch the preseason games?
Yeah, well, I think, gosh, it, you know, being in the New York suburbs right now, and, you know, obviously being tied into the New York Giants program over the past 8 years or so, I am very surprised, as I'm sure most of the country is, over how well Daniel Jones is playing. And I think that I knew he was a good player. I called one of his games last year when he was at Duke, and Duke was playing Miami.
I caught that game, by the way. You did a fine job.
Oh, thank you. So, and it was great because I was excited to watch him play, because I had heard about you know, his toughness, his ability to come back from injury, and the way that he had his team, and the way Coach David Cutcliffe talked about him. You know that there was something special, but it was a torrential downpour, and he barely got to throw the ball. So I was like, oh, I wonder what the Giants saw when they analyzed his film. And I think what they saw was his ability to put the ball where he wanted to put it every single time. And that is something that's obviously of the utmost importance at quarterback, but his inability to throw those darts, you know, on an out route, you're used to seeing, you know, the Aaron Rodgers, the Eli Manning, the guys with the big arms throw that on a line and hit the receiver. Well, Daniel Jones hits the receiver. He just does it a different way. And he kind of throws this arcing pass that gets there, but it gets there. And I think he's done a really good job this preseason. I don't think the goal was to prove anybody wrong or anybody right. I think he just went out there and played his game and is learning. And I think his ability to not only learn the offense, but learn how to play in the NFL is huge for the New York Giants. But I think it's huge for Daniel Jones, because there were a lot of people questioning that decision right after it was made.
Mark Herzlich joins us here. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. I always love to ask guys who are like very, very close to the game. You're still very, very close to your NFL career, and now you're getting into this media game. Do you think you have learned anything about football since you took your last step on the field of play as a competitor? Are you learning anything about the game doing what you're doing now?
Yes, I am learning about
the
game. And it's funny, it's not as much about the X's and O's of the game.
Okay.
I would say there's two things. First thing is you get a little bit more inside the mind of a coach or a general manager. For instance, you are analyzing matchups a lot more on both sides of the ball when you're preparing to call a game. And you're saying, okay, these are the holes that this whole team in general needs to fill or has weak spots at. Where when you're playing, all you're thinking about is, okay, I'm going against this guy. I want to know the running back's release every single play as a linebacker. I want to know the route tree he runs. I want to know the tight ends, who's who, what numbers, what. And I want to know the offensive scheme so I can help prepare for that. But at no point was I focused on, oh, man, you know, it's a really weak offensive line, so I need to take advantage of that. I was just out there thinking every time, okay, these guys are good. They're professional athletes. So if I sleep on them, then you know, they're going to take advantage of me. So there's more of that sense when you're kind of looking at the overall makeup of a team that I've realized. And then the other part, too, is after walking away from the game, you put in perspective, I think exactly what Andrew Luck has been putting in perspective, is the importance that as players we put on the game itself, where we are fighting through these injuries that, you know, when you're out in the everyday life and you're walking around your neighborhood and there's nobody else with the injuries that we have. It's not like anybody else is going to work and tearing their ACL or going to work and breaking their forearm or things like that. You get a little bit of implanted into the gen pop, if you will, you know, sure, the general population of people who have jobs that don't involve hitting people with your face. And I think there's an appreciation for not being hurt, because you are hurt all the time when you're playing. So those are the kind of the two
things you learn about.
Things that I've learned. Yes.
How do you? Can I say too? Is how did you grow up where you grew up, and then you're a Giant, when I'm sure anytime you were hanging out with the high school buddies, hanging out with people you knew growing up, they were fans of yours personally, but they were probably rooting for your misery on a weekly basis. Let's be honest.
On a weekly basis, for sure. I mean, so I had one of my best buddies, and, you know, I wrote about him in my book a lot. His name is Zach Michaud, and he grew up with me in Philadelphia, and he's a huge Eagles fan, and he would come to a lot of games. He was the best man at my wedding. But when he would come to my games, he would refuse to wear the jersey that I got him that had my name and number and New York Giants logo on it, because he only wore his Eagle stuff.
He's a good man.
Look, man, he's loyal. He's loyal to me, but he's also loyal to his Philadelphia Eagles. And so, he was fantastic and rooted for me all the time. But he said, "Hey, if you're not in the playoff picture and you don't have a chance to win another Super Bowl, screw the Giants."
I got to tell you this, is that back working at ESPN doing post-game of Super Bowls, twice I was on the field, one for one of your Super Bowl championships, and I got to have Coach Coughlin gave me time on the field to do an interview, like literally minutes after he won a Super Bowl, and I just always I've always enjoyed any interaction I had with Tom Coughlin, and you played for him. Can you give us 20, 30 seconds on Tom Coughlin?
Yeah, absolutely. So people ask, so is he like a father figure? And it's interesting. He's more like for my generation, more like a grandfather figure, and not just in terms of age, is more in terms of his wisdom and his ability to kind of imprint his life experiences into his coaching philosophy, where he will, this is a for instance. So every morning, he's been doing this forever. Every morning at 5 a.m., he is in his office rehearsing his team meeting speech to the team, right? So this is something that a lot of coaches overlook and just, you know, don't focus on. But Tom Coughlin wanted to make sure he started off every single day the right way with no mistakes. And he would do it every single morning at 5 a.m. And he would come and deliver a presentation to us that every single morning was not about football. It was about something else, someone who has achieved something great. And gosh, you know, he's achieved unbelievable things, and he's still doing great stuff down in Jacksonville.
Mark, always appreciate your time, and congratulations on the next chapter of your success. We'll be looking for your work all year long. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.